Thank you all so much for coming today. I'm really happy to be here talking to you about perimenopause and menopause and a lot of the natural alternatives to Western medicine. My name is Laura Ferguson Diaz. I'm an acupuncturist, an herbalist, and a Qigong instructor. And I practice here at Integrative Family Medicine of Asheville. And I specialize in women's care, specifically hormonal balance. So so let's get started. The first that I have here is, this is the symbol for inner percussion. And we can interpret that as the heartbeat, or the your voice, your inner voice, your intuition. And right now at the time of perimenopause and menopause, it's a really, really important time, specifically for using menopause as a springboard for health in midlife and beyond. And really listening in to your inner voice is pivotal right now, because a lot of things, a lot of intuition is important to maximize your health during this particular phase. Yeah, still hot, it comes in flashes. Menopause is defined as going an entire year without a menstrual cycle. And when you've gone a year, that's officially menopause. And perimenopause, the 6 to 10 years leading up to that. It could be fewer. In general, we're looking at, about a third of women having real severe symptoms. And menopause is really a Western concept. If you're looking at the Chinese medicine medical encyclopedia, for instance, you're not going to see the word menopause. It's just a natural process of life where the kidneys are starting to decline. And so we want to boost the energy of the kidneys and really even out the body's rhythms. The U.S. actually seems to have the highest incidence of hot flashes being the hallmark of menopause, right? So the symptoms usually come up in more developed countries, and there's a whole lot of different potential reasons for that. And you know, in less developed countries, a much smaller percentage of women are having hot flashes. So about a quarter of women will have severe problems, a quarter will have no symptoms or very mild symptoms, and about half of us will experience sort of moderate symptoms of menopause. And you know, I think in large part this has to do with our diet. This has to do with the expectations of women during this time, the way we sort of revere youth as opposed to the wisdom of aging, and a lot of the real, a lot of the chemicals that are in the environment that we have not a whole lot of control over right now, and the pesticides in our food. So a lot of women come in and say, is this perimenopause? What is really going on here? Maybe you're having irregular periods, libido changes, your libido may increase, it may decrease. Bloating, mood swings, ovarian cysts become pretty common during this period of time. Infertility or anovulatory cycles, carb cravings, and low body temperature. And that can definitely, you can have real low body temperature and then suddenly have a hot flash and then get real chilled again. Or it may go up. But if you see a combination of these symptoms, chances are after 35 and especially after 40, starting to move in that direction. So this is sort of a tongue-in-cheek. But it's true, you are going to see along here your estrogen and progesterone are pretty high. And then right as perimenopause starts, the progesterone starts its slow descent. Estrogen hangs on for a while until you hit menopause. And then you're starting to see a lot of fluctuation there. And then postmenopause is going to start to even out again, although progesterone is going to stay pretty low. And here's a little bit better graph showing what you're looking at. And the thing that we're really going to be focusing on, at least from a Western perspective, is the difference between the estrogen and the progesterone. And when you're starting to see real severe symptoms, that's more of a sign of estrogen dominance. And the risk period for estrogen dominance is right around when menopause hits. And you're going to see a lot more of the uncomfortable breast symptoms. PMS gets really uncomfortable. Periods can become really uncomfortable. The symptoms that you see are going to increase. So what we're trying to do is narrow the gap between the progesterone and estrogen, keep these hormones in balance. This is from the Western perspective, and then we're going to go in. I'm going to talk a little bit more about some natural alternatives. So Yeah, average is 45, between age 35 and 55. And I just thought I'd list a couple extra things that you might experience and say, is that menopause? Mood changes, difficulty concentrating. A lot of people get hormonal headaches. And the vaginal dryness can usually come in more post-menopause. Sleep disturbances are real common. Joint muscle aches, you wouldn't think necessarily, but that can be a big one. Frequent urination, and that's again because the kidneys are becoming a little bit deficient. Depression, anxiety, nervousness, varicose veins. So your venous system starting to collapse a little bit. Your hormones are out of balance. We need to get, if this is easy, wouldn't that be nice? All right, next slide. Okay, so the ovaries produce the progesterone, estrogen, and androgens, and that's going to start to fluctuate and lower. But your ovaries are going to continue to provide hormones throughout your life. Even postmenopausally, the ovaries are going to produce 50% of your body's androgens. And then even after menopause, you still have body fat, the pineal gland, adrenal glands, ovaries, hair follicles, breasts, and liver are producing hormones for you the rest of your life. We used to just, when they did hysterectomies, they would take everything, and now it's, take out the uterus if you need to, but really, we're always trying to preserve the ovaries because they do continue to do so much for us after menopause. So let's talk about some natural therapies, things that you can do, and things that that can be provided to you through acupuncture and herbal medicine. Aerobic exercise, Qigong is really, really great for balancing hormones. Meditation, a way to balance all of that. Dietary mindfulness, avoiding stress, stimulants, and depressants. So the drugs and alcohol, coffee, caffeine can be disruptors of hormones as well. So I think this is an interesting photograph of how the yin and yang balance plays out in the body. So in Chinese medicine, we're always trying to balance the yin and the yang. The yin being the cool, the earth, the feminine, the heavy, and the yang being the masculine, the hot, the flaming, the fire. And so as we age, the yin begins to decrease, and the yang can really spike up if we aren't careful about staying in balance. And so here we have the fire flaming up. We have some yin down here, but this is sort of an image of a hot flash for you. So just to talk a little bit about acupuncture, for instance, this is a diagram of the 12 primary energetic meridians. And each meridian corresponds with an organ system, and it's a great way to tap into the body's energy, redistribute, balance the yin and yang, and bring the body back into homeostasis. And this is the principle of acupuncture, is balancing the yin and yang, and nourishing the yin, nourishing the blood and the fluids in the body, balancing the hot and cold. And when there's an obstruction in the body, whether it's trauma, emotional, dietary related, it's going to show up in the body, and we find where the obstruction is, use a needle to help release it. A little visual if you've never had acupuncture before. That's what the needles look like. So if I can say one thing to women going through perimenopause and menopause, it's really love your kidneys. This is the basis of your health from the perspective of Chinese medicine. It's the basis of yin and yang and the blood. And so by taking care of your kidneys, really avoiding excess coffee and alcohol, stress is a huge one. If you can really mitigate those outside influences, and I'll show you some Qigong activities for nourishing the kidneys as well. It's going to go a long way, especially right now during the time of perimenopause and menopause. It's like the teenage years. You know how when you're a teenager, if you really take care of yourself during your teen years, your adult years can be really healthy. It's a springboard. If you do so now, you can indulge more in the coffee and alcohol after menopause. So let's take a look at the patterns. What are we looking at with the patterns of menopause? Usually three or more arise together. So, and we're going to look at herbs that combine specifically for the individual. It's not a one-size-fits-all medicine. Every woman has her own patterns and her own way of expressing the excess or deficiency and how that shows up. So the primarily we're going to look at the kidney and liver, and we call that yin deficiency. You've got the yang that spikes up, the yin starts to become deficient. And then we also look at the spleen and at the heart. These are all yin organs that need to be nourished. So let's start with some kidney yin deficiency. What does it look like when the yin becomes deficient and the yang becomes excess? You may have delayed menstruation. Maybe your cycles get a little bit longer. You can have hair loss, vaginal discharge, dryness, dizziness, ringing in the ears, hot flashes, night sweats. You might have some sleep issues, insomnia, more dreams, itchy skin, formication, soreness, and weakness of the low back and knees. And there's some great herbal formulas that can help with this. There's some great needle combinations that work well for this. And also some additional therapies that we can talk about here. Liver qi stagnation often plays into many of these. And liver qi stagnation is can be caused by a lot of different things, but it's a real prominent player during perimenopause and menopause. And it can show up as irritability, nervousness, hypochondriac distension or tension or tightness right here, constipation, palpitations, especially when you lie down, insomnia and emotional instability, sort of the moodiness all over the place. Also like a generalized weakness can show up with liver qi stagnation. And there's some great herbal formulas for that as well. And we'll talk about some great herbal remedies. This is an easy one to deal with, actually. It's easier to clear off stagnation than to build up the deficiency, although oftentimes this can result from deficiency. So again, every woman's different. We can look at each situation individually. Blood deficiency goes along with a lot of these. And after having all of the menstrual cycles for however many years, potentially some births, any sort of surgeries or blood losses, this becomes really prominent for a lot of women. It can look like dizziness, hot flashes, sweating, insomnia, dry skin, sallow complexion, again, sort of that emotional instability, and mild, just pain all over the body. So there's some great herbs to help build up the blood. There are also some great Western herbs that we're going to talk about that are going to be helpful for this. Uprising deficiency heat. So this is yin deficiency, but this is an even bigger issue. So it's more progressed, uprising deficiency heat. So now we're going to have hot flashes, but we're also going to have like a bone steam. We call it the steaming bone disorder. Steaming almost feels like you're so hot that your bones are hot. Can be irritable and dizzy and nervous, and oftentimes sort of an emaciation goes along with this. And there's some great formulas for this one as well. So yang deficiency and yin deficiency, believe it or not, can go along hand in hand. And with yang deficiency, the yang can go down and the yin can come up, and it can be like sort of this dance. These women often have real heavy menstrual bleeding. They can feel hot but then have cold trapped internally. It can also be you can completely stop bleeding. There may be sore low back and knees, some edema, cold limbs, cold appearance, and again, a couple formulas here that are helpful for that. Kidney essence deficiency, honestly, we don't see so much, but I think it's helpful to mention sometimes when there's been weakness throughout the life, the lifespan of the woman, and there's a weakness and a soreness of the low back, inability to stand for long periods of time, and this is where you see a lot of decreased bone mass and bone density. Yeah. So let's talk about some lifestyle hormone balancing. These are things that you can do, that you can take home with you. Really, a big thing is avoiding the chemicals. So avoiding meat conventionally raised with the antibiotics, the growth hormones, the pesticide residues, that's a really important thing. Focusing on cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage. And these are important for a lot of reasons. If you ever have thyroid issues, maybe your doctor may say, oh, avoid these. take them cooked if you like, but they're really important for clearing off the excess estrogens or the xenoestrogens. Turmeric, fish oil, vitamin C help clear excess estrogens and cortisol from the body. And the excess estrogens and cortisol, that think liver qi stagnation. Think about the ways that you can feel real bound up. This can lead to a lot of symptoms of menopause. Coffee and alcohol both are energetically very hot, and they raise cortisol, which is the stress hormone. So when you're feeling anxious and irritable, and it's hard for you to go to sleep at night, and then it's hard for you to get up in the morning because your cortisol is spiking at the wrong time. It's really, really helpful to cut out the cortisol raising aspects of your life. So try replacing coffee with green tea, which is high in L-theanine, and energetically it's much cooler. So you know, you may need that little boost in the morning. Try to get it with green tea. Energetically, tea is cooler and easier on the adrenal glands. So what are xenoestrogens? They're chemicals that mimic estrogen in the body. We find them in plastics, we find them in pesticides, and not just pesticides out in industrial agriculture, but just people down the street using pesticides on their lawns. Shampoos, cosmetics, and soaps often have xenoestrogens in them. Chemical household cleaners. Many pharmaceuticals, if you're taking drugs, chances are they're going to be containing xenoestrogens, and they're going to be boosting cortisol in your body. Even if you get a receipt from the grocery store, they have BPAs on all heat-activated paper, like receipts. So be real careful, because you're taking that in, and if you're getting it in your face or your mouth, you're taking in those xenoestrogens and through your skin. Okay, night sweats. Anybody ever have night sweats? Yeah, that's a fun one, right? So oftentimes I've noticed that it's an adrenal response to a sound that you hear. You may not even remember the sound, but if it wakes you up, it can trigger the adrenals, and that can cause a night sweat. So something as easy as just putting in some earplugs at night can maybe dramatically reduce the occurrence of night sweats. Acupuncture is really great for balancing the hormones and dealing with night sweats. Nettle tea is also really helpful. And I'll lump these together. Nettle, black cohosh, motherwort, and fenugreek. These are Western herbs, really easily accessible, really helpful. I have some formulas that contain these that are really helpful for night sweats. Vitamin E oil, about 300 milligrams in the vitamin E oil caps. Really nice for night sweats. And EFAs, essential fatty acids. Really, really great for night sweats. You can find these in flax seeds, evening primrose oil, and borage seed oil. Evening primrose oil especially is really nice at helping balance out the prostaglandin so that you're not dealing with a lot of the night sweat issues. So hot flashes. Gochu Cola and Dongguei are two Western herbs. Well, Dongguei is also a Chinese herb. Really, really helpful for the hot flashes. Again, EFAs. Again, vitamin E and black cohosh. And some adaptogenic herbs, which we'll touch on here in a little bit, can also be really helpful. Qigong is great for hot flashes. And of course, acupuncture. You know, night sweats and hot flashes are so similar. They may feel so similar, but they're really very, very different. And if you come in for an acupuncture appointment, for instance, we want to differentiate what kind of hot flashes you're having. Are you sweating? After you sweat, do you get cold? After you sweat, do you feel hot? Lots and lots of things go into this. So this is a sort of a surface primer, but we'll go through more. So heart health. Heart health is definitely influenced during this pivotal time in your life in lots of ways. Lots of women are feeling palpitations and chest tightness and the anxiety and irritability that come up with that. And so shunjia is a Chinese herb, hawthorn berry, very, very helpful for heart health. Seaweeds are cardiotonics, really nice for the heart. Garlic, again, we got the EFAs, the essential fatty acids in the flaxseed, evening primrose, and borage seed. Motherwort is an invaluable herb for helping with the heart, helping with relaxing the anxiety that can be caused by heart excess, vitamin E, and again, exercise. We all know exercise is great for the heart, but acupuncture and Qigong have both been clinically shown to improve heart health, lower high blood pressure, balance cholesterol, all these things. Digestive changes. This may be one of the most uncomfortable of the changes that some women may experience during perimenopause and menopause. And part of the reason is that hydrochloric acid is decreasing during during menopause, which can sometimes lead to weight gain, can lead to heartburn, could lead to bloating and discomfort with digestion. So what do we do? Sometimes bitters can stimulate hydrochloride production, hydrochloric acid production. Betaine hydrochloride supplements are really helpful. You need to make sure that if you take a betaine hydrochloride supplement that you're taking it in the middle of a meal with a protein. You never want to take that on an empty stomach. But it can be really helpful at sort of replacing some of that. And it's not the kind of thing you necessarily need to continue taking forever. Sometimes you need a little jump start, and it can be really helpful during real stressful times with your stomach. Because we all know the stomach can be so sensitive to stress and emotions and this sort of thing. I have a wonderful bitters formula that I make my own herbal tincture formulas. You can also find bitters around. Apple cider vinegar, really, really great for digestion. Probiotics and fermented foods as well can be really, really helpful. Sugar kills digestion. Alcohol and coffee can be really tough on digestion too. So things to keep in mind if you're struggling with any digestive upsets. Ooh, this is a fun one. Irritability, anger, and rage. And we all deal with this, but for some magical reason, during perimenopause and menopause, whatever we haven't dealt with starts to really come to the surface. And in a sense, that's a really wonderful thing because it's our body's way of saying, all right, now it's time to step up and deal with this. In another way, you know, it's more processing for us to do at a particularly stressful time. Blue vervain is a wonderful herb that can help mitigate the anger and the irritability. Lemon balm is a lovely one, very calming and relaxing. I will mention that lemon balm, if you have a thyroid condition, lemon balm can be a little bit slowing to the thyroid, so you might avoid that if you have any thyroid issues, which can come to the forefront during this particular period of time. Meditation is really key during this particular time for the irritability, anger, and rage, and realizing that there are emotions that arise and not identifying with it. I'm angry. It's emotion that's coming up and allowing it to release. Acupuncture, Qigong. In fact, I just taught a Qigong class in conjunction with a martial arts practitioner, and we talked a lot about anger and releasing anger through the internal martial art of Qigong. And in my weekly class, we talk a lot about clearing emotions that come up. So, something to think about. Insomnia. Oh, this one will drive you crazy. And there are so many great treatments for this. I have a great little formula called Deep Calm. And there are a combination of some of these herbs here and also some Chinese herbs that help to really clear some of the heat that's aggravating the body and also relaxing the body quite a bit. Foot soak before bed is a wonderful thing to do. Some stretching, again, Qigong. Breathing exercises can be great for this. One wonderful breath is a deep inhalation and then making the exhale 2 to 3 times as long. So if you extend your exhale, it unwinds the central nervous system and can be great for insomnia. Lavender essential oil, ylang ylang essential oil. There's a yoga posture, elevate the feet up a wall, so laying with your feet up in a reclined position is really relaxing. And if you've had acupuncture, you know that's incredibly relaxing as well and great for insomnia. In fact, I think that's probably what maybe the one symptom I treat most in terms of hormonal imbalance is insomnia, and usually with great success. So bone mass, why does bone mass have to decrease? Weight-bearing exercise is really, really helpful for this. And Avoiding sodas, coffees, sugars, salt in excess can also be really nice. Horsetail is one of those herbs that is indispensable for maintaining bone mass. It's high in silica and strengthens the bones. If you're just doing calcium, magnesium, you're only sort of looking at half the picture. You need to really look at the silica and the vitamin D and lots of all these other things. Organic dark green leafy vegetables, berries, sea vegetables are rich in D, magnesium, calcium, and boron, some of the trace minerals that your body's needing, especially now. And we've always been told drink your milk. Actually, drinking milk and eating meat can block calcium absorption. Kind of been sold a bill of goods on that one. And avoiding processed and canned foods because of a number of things. So men and women lose bone mass differently. We all sort of peak around 30. And then for men, it sort of slowly declines. For women, it slowly declines, and then it really drops off during menopause. So we need to be especially mindful of our bone mass as we go through these menopausal years. So this is a beautiful picture of flax seeds. Isn't that pretty? So focusing on yin-building foods during this particular time of life is really, really helpful. So here's a list of some: mung beans, mung sprouts, string beans, seaweed. Spirulina and chlorella are both blue-green algae, and they are really high in vitamins, minerals, proteins, and great for building the blood, building the yin. Millet, again, goitrogenic, so if you have a thyroid issue, you may stay away from the millet, but it is gluten-free if you're gluten-free. Black bean, lentil, kidney bean are great for the yin. Barley, black sesame seed, royal jelly, aloe vera gel, and especially black sesame seed, I like to make a milk out of it. That's a wonderful yin-building thing, and I can give you a recipe if you are interested in that. So yeah, yin-building foods. You are what you eat. So phytoestrogens, in stark contrast to xenoestrogens, phytoestrogens are estrogens that you find in plants. And those are the good estrogens, the ones that you want to bring into your body. So focus on Brazil nuts, almonds. Red clover is a great one. Red clover is a nice Western herb that's readily available. Eggplant's really high in phytoestrogens. Alfalfa, flax seeds that we just saw, so yin tonic and phytoestrogen, really good stuff. Chia seeds are great, beans are great, and these are foods that are great for you in a lot of different ways, but especially right now. And again, we don't want to go overboard on the estrogens, but the more good estrogen you have in your body, the less room there is for the xenoestrogens. So keeping the balance. So a lot of people say, oh, isn't soy a phytoestrogen? Well, yeah, there are phytoestrogens, but they've also been linked to cancers, and soy is also widely genetically modified. So unless you're really focusing on fermented soy that's organic, I would stay away from soy. I would completely stay away from soy. So fermented soy includes tempeh, miso, and tamari. And I would pretty much avoid all other soy. Like soy protein isolate is sort of a new name for MSG. Stay away from soy protein isolate. It's not a great, quick protein for your body. Whoa, can we go back for just a second? Sorry. I think people say, oh, but in Asia they have soy all day, every day. They actually, about 2 tablespoons a day, and it's fermented. So keep that in mind. And again, it's goitrogenic unless it's fermented, which means if you have thyroid issues, it can slowly slow your thyroid function. And it can also block enzyme production, and I mentioned it's GMO. So yeah, there's a question about soy. So be careful about the soy. Yay, Qigong! And I think it's helpful to mention that Qigong, I've mentioned it throughout, I'm kind of a Qigong junkie, but it's one of those ways to naturally balance your body. It's every day to reach your full potential. Really? It's been demonstrated to reduce hot flashes by 90%. I could go on and on about all the studies about Qigong, how it lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol, lowers stress, boosts the mood, helps with focus and attention, and it dramatically improves sleep in perimenopausal women, and reduces depression and anxiety. It also builds muscles. It's just a great thing to do. So I think what we're going to do is, let me talk one more minute, and then I'm going to do a little demonstration. Everybody up for maybe doing a little bit of Qigong?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so Qi is the word for your body's energy. I've talked about Qi throughout this presentation. And Gong is exercise, or more specifically, cultivation. So we're cultivating the Qi, or we're farming the Qi. We're bringing the Qi in from our surroundings to be in a to bring it into the body, specifically into the lower Dantian. And it's a moving meditation. It's a way to connect deeply with your breath and with your spirit, cultivating, moving, and enjoying your Qi. And the two times of the day that your Qi is most available to you is sunrise and sunset. And obviously that's going to change throughout the year. But let's take a little, stand up for a second if you'd like to. And we'll do some Qigong. And we're going to focus on the kidneys a little bit, since I may have overstated in how much love we need to give our kidneys. So we'll start out just with the outsides of our feet, parallel, knees slightly bent. And we're going to bring our hands into prayer position here, thumbs touch in to the sternum. Close your eyes, take some breaths. Find your center. Now we're going to be breathing in the Qi. Qi follows thought. We're going to focus on breath, posture, and intention. So we notice our posture, our tailbone's tucked in a little bit, our chin's tucked, knees slightly bent, shoulders back, but not rigid, just really comfortable. And the breath is nice and easy, and we're going to breathe along with the movement. And again, Qi follows thought. So where we're focusing on the energy is where it's going to go. And we're going to gather up the Qi, gather the heavenly Qi. So we're breathing in through our nose, we're bringing it in through the crown of the head. And on the exhale, we're bringing it down into the lower Dantian right here. Nice and slow. It's almost like you're moving your hands through molasses. And this is a nice way to wake up in the morning. Sunrise, bring in the Qi, balance your Qi for the day. Regulate all the body's systems. Regulate your nervous system. Great. And when you get here, we're going to hold the tiger's mouth hand posture just over the lower Dantian. We're going to focus on the kidneys. So if you can imagine where your kidneys are, right up here in your low back, you're going to send some light to your kidneys. Remember, Qi follows thought. We're going to tuck the fingers in right along the kidney channel, right in the front of the body, just under the rib cage here. We're going to inhale, bend over, flat back, and breathe out. Good, inhale in. Blow out, really focusing on your kidneys. One more time. That's a really nice kidney exercise. We're going to put our feet together. One more little exercise, just so everybody gets a sense of Qigong and how they can bring it into their lives. Thumbs on the navel. We're going to make a little triangle over the lower Dantian, this area just below the belly button. And with knees together, we're going to kind of squeeze the knees together, bring the Qi up into the kidneys. We're going to inhale up on the toes. Exhale down on the heels. And as we come down on the heels, we're pumping Qi up into the kidneys. Inhale. Exhale. Good, you guys are doing great. Inhale. Exhale. This is deceptively simple. It feels like not much is happening here, but if you're using your intention to push the chi up into the kidneys, this becomes a really tonifying exercise, a really balancing and meditative exercise. Okay, great. Bring the chi in, one last movement. And exhale. Very nice. All right, thanks y'all, you can have a seat. Excellent, I think some natural qigongers are in here. I love that. Again, come to my class, we'll do some qigong. So let's go ahead and talk about a few herbs that I consider invaluable during this particular period of time. Vitex is one of these really wonderful, look how pretty it is, these nice purple berries, nice purple flowers. The chaste tree, also known as chaste tree berry, Vitex is invaluable for naturally raising progesterone. It's great for regulating periods. It's excellent for estrogen dominance and to reduce and eliminate fibroids, especially when there's endometriosis present. In conjunction with some other things I'll talk about. It's great if you have menstrual cramps, which can get worse during perimenopause. So really balancing. Also eliminates that flooding. We call it flooding and trickling or flooding and spotting when your period gets really out of balance. And it's really calming to the spirit. It's a wonderful, wonderful herb. That cohosh is nice. It's considered equal to primarine in its ability to improve vaginal lubrication and to reduce depression, headache, and hot flash. Just by itself, this can be a really powerful herb for you. And I want to just say a word about permanent. People aren't using it quite so much. And a lot of these herbs can be so helpful at preventing even the need for some of these hormones. And I feel like it's just important to mention that, you know, in Western medicine, usually they will talk about hormone replacement therapy, antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds as the three major prescriptions to deal with perimenopause. But these can really get to the root of the issue so that you don't have to resort to some of those. And we can talk about that a little bit more. The only problem that I see with those, a lot of times there are a lot of side effects. Hormone replacement therapy can very often cause, has been linked with uterine cancers and liver cancers and a lot of other kind of unsavory side effects. And black cohosh has literally no side effects. Any questions about that? Okay. So let's talk about adaptogens. These are some really, really amazing herbs. They're substances which can go into your body and decide essentially what needs to be done. Where are you out of balance and balances the body? They're adapting herbs. So, they will elicit a state of raised resistance to the body. It's like a stress vaccine. They're wonderful herbs, and I'm going to talk about, and they're great especially during midlife endocrine function. So right about now, right about perimenopause and menopause, these are really helpful herbs. Let's talk about rhodiola. I love rhodiola. It's like a good friend. It's an herb that's like a good friend. You take it first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, it boosts your energy during the day, and then it helps you sleep at night. You don't want to take it at night. It can be a little too stimulating. Take it during the day. You'll have great energy during the day. It helps with insomnia. It's an antidepressant. It's great for fatigue and anxiety and moodiness. And again, I mentioned the stress vaccine. It helps to protect the body from stress. It's also great if you happen to be an athlete. It can protect you from extreme temperatures and endurance during physical activity. And since during perimenopause, our bodies are often having a hard time balancing body temperature, this can be really nice if you run cold and you get hot and you're having a hard time balancing that out. So yeah, again, between 100 and 400 milligrams in the morning on an empty stomach. And I would tailor that to the individual. If you tend to be a little more sensitive, I would start low. Wuweitza is a really nice one, also known as Schizandra. here in the West. It's an anti-inflammatory, decreases fatigue, improves mood, increases work capacity. So that's a nice one. So Renshin, also known as ginseng, a lot of people like to take ginseng. It's great for the immune system, yes. It's great for neuroprotective, it protects the brain function, lowers blood sugar, lowers anxiety, and relieves the effect of prolonged fatigue, stress, insomnia, just all kinds. It's just a great adaptogen. Comes into your body and helps to regulate the endocrine system. Ashwagandha is a nice one. I think it's gained popularity lately. It's great for anxiety. It's great for neurological disorders, inflammation, exhaustion. It's an immune stimulant. It's great for the thyroid. It's, you'll find it in a lot of thyroid support complexes. Also supports blood sugar metabolism. So it's also great for insomnia. You can take it in the morning. You can even take this one at night. It can be nice for insomnia. Something to play with. All right, so menopause has hit. Your periods are done. That's the good news. You can't get pregnant anymore. It's also nice news. Kids are headed out. There's also more emotional freedom after menopause. I think it's nice to focus on the positives. And word on the street is orgasm is better after menopause. So this is your good news. I want to thank you all so much for coming to my presentation. Anybody have any questions about anything that we talked about today?
Laura, if my period stopped for almost a year and then they started again, now they're regular again. So I thought maybe I was headed into menopause, but now...
You thought you were there and then they started up again. Okay. So it could be a couple different things. It could be if you're taking something right now or you started taking something.
I started taking an iron pill.
Okay. All right. So that'd be worth looking into a little bit more, regulating
that.
Is
that a good thing that my period started again?
I don't know if it's a good or bad thing.
No cramping, they're regular and all.
Okay. All right. So maybe you went into a little bit earlier menopause because of some blood deficiency.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But building the blood right now sounds like a really important thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't think I would stop taking iron if you were deficient in it. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think definitely looking into that a little bit more would be helpful.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other questions?
Can you elaborate more on the emotional freedom that's associated with menopause?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned before, when we talked about the irritability and anger, I think for a lot of times leading up to menopause, especially for women in our society, and you may or may not agree with this, there's a lot of pressure on women to fulfill a lot of roles and be a lot of things and be perfect at a lot of things and not have certain emotions. Well, when you get to 45, 50, there's a whole lot of, I don't care about that so much anymore. I just don't have the energy to put to dealing with that anymore. And also, a lot of these things are coming up to be dealt with. And at some point, it becomes like, I'm not going to put my energy there anymore. So that becomes a real freeing thing. And when you're no longer in the place of having children or there being the option for children, suddenly it becomes a real freedom to put your energy on other things too. That's my take on it. You may have other thoughts. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay.
I know before I started doing acupuncture with you, my insomnia was so bad, and now it's perfect. I really sleep perfect.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely no problems anymore with insomnia. And I actually have more physical energy, of course, than too. I find my mental state, though, isn't as clear. So the physical side got a lot better, and now mentally. So that all still does with the estrogen and progesterone imbalance a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that if I start with some of these herbs, that'll start making the mental side.
Yeah, I haven't seen you, Luana. I know you said that your period started again, so maybe looking at some herbs specifically to help balance that piece out would be really helpful, and take a look at where you're coming from that perspective. Yeah.
And how many years does menopause last once it starts?
Well, it's, as I mentioned, it's different for every woman.
in general, 6 to 10 years from the beginning of perimenopause to when your periods completely stop. And then, unless you've been taking hormone replacement therapy, which can sort of mimic you not going through menopause, some women can stay in that sort of perimenopausal state through their 60s and 70s if they stay on that. That's why I recommend coming off of that. If you allow your body to go through its natural process, it shouldn't take more than 6 to 10 years. Yeah. But again, it doesn't have to be, you know, this roller coaster ride if you're really taking care of your health and keeping things really balanced in a lot of the ways that I mentioned here. Yeah. All right. Thank you again all so much. And you can connect with me after if you have any questions. And I'm here at IFMA. Thanks very much.
Thank you.